Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and, of course, all your beliefs. And as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, a number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGant, and you can send messages to the show at Twitter at GoForItGant. So make sure you hit me up on Twitter and make sure you follow me on Twitter. Expected to be joined tonight by former Philadelphia Eagles and Carolina Panthers tight end Luther Broughton, and we're going to get Luther's thoughts on what's been going on these past couple weeks in free agency and in the National Football League. Also, expected to be joined by actor Kiko Ellsworth, and Kiko Ellsworth is on the ABC Family hit show, Nine Lives of Chloe King, and we're going to talk to Kiko about that show and, you know, see what's going on with him. And also Michael Robinson, fullback from the Seattle Seahawks, will stop on by, and we're going to talk to Michael as he prepares for this upcoming NFL season. And this upcoming NFL season, at this point, you look at these 2 weeks of training camp, and these 2 weeks of training camp have shown us, and we've seen a lot of injuries, a lot of injuries. And one of the most notable injuries are the Achilles tendons tear, ruptures. We saw 10 of them, 10 of them. And to put that into perspective, we have seen 10 of these in the last 2 weeks. So to put that into perspective, nine players were on injured reserve with this Achilles tendon injury all year. On average, there's 8 Achilles tears in a full season. So we're talking about average of 8 Achilles tears, and we're talking about only 9 all of last year. And we have 10 so far, and we have not even played a game of football yet. We have not even played a game. That's a problem, everybody. That is a problem. And you had the promising running back for the Detroit Lions, Michael LeSueur, who just ruptured his Achilles the other day. And it's a tough situation for these players. I mean, you know, it's kind of a you got these 2 weeks of training camp, and it's off and go. It's ready, set, go. And ready or not, you got to go out and play. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, you got the mini camps and the OTAs that were missed, and a lot of players hate going to those things, but those things kind of keep you in check. They kind of keep you in shape, and kind of someone's monitoring what you're doing. Someone's watching what you're doing. And sometimes we all need that person to look over our shoulder at times, when just to make sure that we are doing the right things and taking care of ourselves from time to time. That's why we have wives. That's why some have husbands and so on and friends, so on and so forth. Because of that. And you look at it, I mean, it's not really surprising what's going on here. You have the situation with Bryant McKinney from the Minnesota Vikings. Bryant, who eventually was released by the Minnesota Vikings, apparently came into camp close to 400 pounds. 400 pounds. You figure with these big guys, you know, it's going to be hard for those guys to keep that weight off anyway. It's tough for them anyway. And so you figure all that free time, all that time doing whatever, you know, having a good time living your life and whatnot, and no one checking up on you, no one kind of monitoring what you're doing. Things like this will happen. 400 pounds will happen. 10 players with Achilles injuries will happen. I mean, that's a tough injury. It's a big-time injury, and that's an injury that's going to keep you out for the season. And these guys will be out for the season. I mean, guys like I said, Michael LaJour, you had the punter for the Browns, Reggie Hodges, Victor Abiyemiri for the Philadelphia Eagles. He suffered his Achilles injury. Raiders, Derek Jones, wide receiver, suffered an Achilles injury, to name a few people. I mean, these are people, these are players, you know, and it's a tough situation, and it's, you know, it's something you're going to, we should expect, I think. And I think it's something we're going to be watching very closely, but I think it's something we will be seeing a lot of. I mean, you got preseason kicking off tomorrow. A lot of teams debut tomorrow. And so we're going to see. We got to watch closely with these injuries, man. I mean, because we could see a rash. We already saw a rash of them. We could see a lot more, because of the shortened training camp and because of the lack of OTAs and mini camps and things of that nature. So we should expect to see a lot of this. We should expect to see a lot of this. And you know, some of the favorites, the Dream Team, get started tomorrow, the Philadelphia Eagles, as they face the Baltimore Ravens. You got the Seahawks and the San Diego Chargers, Dallas and Denver, Arizona and Oakland. And then you have Jacksonville and New England. And New England, the other, I guess, Dream Team, if you will, team that has stockpiled some players and is ready to go. And then Friday you have another slate of five games going on Friday. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. I think what we can expect and what we should expect is a lot of injuries. I think we're going to see a lot of injuries here. We're going to see it. We're going to see a lot of injuries. We're going to see it. It's just the reality of the situation. And then you have other players who've gotten hurt. Nick Fairley from the Detroit Lions, had foot surgery. He has some foot issues. You got Prince Akamura from the New York Giants. He will miss 2 months after breaking his foot. I mean, so you got a lot of people going down from these big-time injuries, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be something that we need to get used to, folks. We may see a lot of backup quarterbacks this year, more so than ever, more so than we want to. We may see a lot of backup players in general, more so than we want to. And that may be the reality of football this year in 2011. That may be the reality. I know we had Willie Rofe on here a few weeks back, and Willie thought it would be the opposite. He thought guys' body would be fresh. Guys would be a lot fresher because of not going through the mini camps and the OTAs and doing all those type of things. He felt like that maybe guys, it would be a benefit to a lot of guys. But to this point, it has not been a benefit. It has been a detriment to a lot of guys. The Achilles are getting torn left and right. It's happening. And it's something that, as a fan, and definitely as a player and as a team, you got to be concerned about. You got to really make sure you're back. You got some good backups in good places. Make sure your backup quarterback is right. Make sure your backup everything is right pretty much at this point. Make sure you have enough depth because you're going to need it. You're going to need it this year. You will need it more so than any year, I think. We've seen it so far. And I think it will continue to happen. Fair or unfair is just reality of the situation, and hopefully guys will get their bodies right, and hopefully this will not happen much longer, but I doubt it, folks. Expect a lot of injuries in the 2011 season. It's just the reality of the situation. Let's bring in now former Eagles tight end, Mr. Luther Broughton. Luther, how are you, sir?
I'm groovy, baby. What's happening?
I'm equally as groovy.
Oh, man.
And Luther.
Signing people, huh?
Left and right. Left and right. And let's start with the dream team in Philadelphia, Luther. I mean, they just signed Steve Smith. We all know all the other people they signed. They signed Nnamdi, Cullen Jenkins, Jason Babbitt, Vince Young, Ronnie Brown. They signed a whole bunch of people. Yep. Vince Young called these boys the dream team. Do you view the Eagles that way?
I can't stand that moniker. That moniker came from Vince Young the day he signed. And the funny thing about it is Vince included himself and when he listed the names of people included in that dream team. Sorry, Vince. If this was a dream team, you wouldn't be the reason why. Secondly, you're the backup quarterback right now. We don't want that attached to us. Yes, I said we. I bleed Eagle Green. But don't like the moniker. Matter of fact, we have signed quality players that fits areas of weakness. The biggest star we signed, obviously, was Nnamdi. Nnamdi wanted to come here. Most of the other guys, they've got basically one-year deals. No, not much of a guarantee behind those deals. It's even Cullen Jenkins, after the first year, nothing is guaranteed. The Eagles, Joe Banner, and those guys do a great job with their cap. The Eagles weren't called the dream team or weren't considered the Heat until they ended up getting Nnamdi, which was a surprise. Now, all of a sudden, as of last week, the Eagles had signed 11 players. We had a team like Arizona, I believe, had brought in 19 guys. A few teams had 15. The Saints had like 16. The Panthers spent about $140 million on three guys. The Colts spent $23 million a year over the first 3 years on one guy. Granted, that guy is Peyton Manning, but we put about 20-something million on the table for four guys, and all of a sudden how did we get this much cap room? Learn the game. Learn the rules of the system. We were prepared for free agency, and we jumped on some people that we needed to go ahead and handle the glaring weakness, specifically giving up 31 touchdown passes last year. So we traded for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. We signed Nnamdi. We signed Cullen Jenkins and Jason Babin to help with the pass rush. Eagles had a good haul in free agency, but this is by no means some dream team. This doesn't even compare to what Pat Riley did with the Heat. So I hate that moniker. I wish it would go away, but it won't now because people have to sell stories.
Definitely. And you talked about the Eagles getting Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and they got him in that Kevin Cobb trade, traded him to Arizona. They got a second-round pick and, of course, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. But you look at Kevin Cobb, 5 years, $63 million, $21 million, which is guaranteed. Did the Cards overpay here?
Well, I don't know if the Cards overpaid for a guy they consider their franchise quarterback. And I say the Cards. The Cards consider him their franchise guy. They gave up quite a bit for Kevin Cobb. He's paid in line with what a starter would make. If they weren't going to pay him in line with what a starter would make, they wouldn't make the trade because they would have lost the second-round pick and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie for a guy who would be an unrestricted free agent or for a guy they would have had to franchise, and that franchise number for quarterback this year was $15 million. It would go up next year. So I think they probably did what they thought was best for their team. They do a good job in their scouting department. They figured Cobb was their guy. It's a wait-and-see situation, but in the NFL, sometimes you have to pay a guy before he does what's necessary to get paid. But, you know, he makes less than typical rookie quarterback was making over the past 10
That's
years.
That's true. But is he a franchise quarterback? I have my doubts.
Know.
Actually, I really don't know, to be honest with
you. I don't know. We just don't know. I don't want to doubt him yet, you know, considering the fact that I was hoping and wishing he would be our guy for the past few years. If you want to look at just stats, you would say no, but he had some tough games coming in. He threw a couple picks in a Green Bay game last year before he got hurt. He was awful against Baltimore a few years ago when Donovan got benched. And all of those are padding his touchdown, his interception to touchdown ratio, making it look worse than it is. I'd say give the kid a chance. He's going out there to play with Larry Fitzgerald, and Larry will probably make me look like a decent quarterback, so we'll see.
And you talked about Donovan McNabb. He had a subpar 2010 season with the Redskins. I think now he's in a better situation with Minnesota, with Adrian Peterson. He has a running game there. How do you like that move for the Vikings? And McNabb, too.
I like the move for the Vikings, considering they're running the West Coast offense. They have some familiarity with some of the coaches, particularly even though he's a defensive coach, Leslie Frazier was on the staff in Philadelphia when Donovan was there. Matter of fact, he was there when I was there for my little short period. Donovan doesn't have to just chuck the ball around the field all day. They don't have to rely on his arm. I mean, he had the worst year of his career last year. It looks like he had a little bit of drop off there. We don't know if it was the talent around him. You know, it could have been him. He could be on his career spiraling downhill. Let's hope not for Donovan's sake, but for the Eagles' sake, we don't want the Vikings to be really good. They have who I believe is the best running back in the game, but I don't know if they help themselves by not being able to bring back Sidney Rice. You know, they got a couple guys, Percy Harvin. He's
right.
More of a slot guy. Sidney Rice takes the top off of the defense, not like Randy Moss did, but he went and got it. So we'll see what happens with that. It's a good move for Donovan to be able to get out of Washington, where it seems as if the Shanahans were putting it all on him when they really didn't surround him with much at the receiver position. They had the Anderson kid who had come from another league, I believe, and Joey Galloway, who is, 40 years old, and Santana Moss, who's up there in age as a top receivers. They had a couple backups at running back. One of the guys ended up doing really well. I forgot his last. Maybe it's Terrain.
Terrain.
But, you know, they weren't really good at Washington last year. Let's not sugarcoat it, but neither was Donovan.
And you've played with Donovan. Is he a different player at this stage of his career? Obviously, he's a little older.
Well,
but how different of a player is he?
Well, he Donovan went through that point in his career where he looked like he made a point to not move out of the pocket. Donovan struck fear in the defensive coordinators early on in his career because he made so many things happen in and out of the pocket. Donovan he doesn't seem to want to scramble anymore. Not sure if he's as athletic as he used to be. But at this point of his career, I think he may be declining. But you know what? He has a chip on his shoulder, probably putting a lot of work in this offseason, and we'll see what happens. But I just think he's a different guy. I hadn't studied that much film. That's not what I do. But that's just my opinion from just what I've seen.
We're talking to Luther Broughton, former Eagles and Carolina Panthers tight end. And Luther, we got a lot of injuries going on. 10 players with Achilles injuries suffered so far 2 weeks into this training camp situation. You had a guy, Bryant McKinney, came into Vikings camp close to 400 pounds. Are we going to see a lot of injuries this year? Are we going to see a lot more of this?
Naturally. And I don't want to, after this whole lockout and all this labor madness and the players in the league fighting each other, I don't want to place too much blame, but you have to blame the league a little bit. They could have pushed back the season at least a week. Now you have the guys rushing into camp. We have no longer have two-a-days, which is, I believe, is going to be detrimental for rookies. I mean, personally, I made the Eagles team my rookie year in practice. I played about 11 plays throughout the whole preseason. I made the team in practice. Rookies need practice. Veterans need practice.
You talking about practice?
Yeah, we talking about practice. Not a game. But seriously, that's going to happen. You know, you can pop your Achilles stepping on a step a little bit the wrong way. Of course, you're going to have all these injuries when guys are coming back. They're going game speed and practice with the cuts in and out. You can't replicate that while working out in the summer and some shorts on the field. You know, it's hard to take that much time off from real football, jump right back in there after the lockout and not have these injuries. Naturally, we're going to have these injuries. Guys are bigger, stronger, faster than we've been in years and years, and they're going to continue to get bigger, stronger, and faster. But these Achilles injuries, things of that nature, it's a product of being out of the game. No camps, no true workouts in the off season, and rushing right back into things, trying to put all the onus on the coaches to get most of their work into one padded practice. So that's tough.
And those players' workouts that some of these players have, were they essentially a joke?
You know what? I wouldn't say it was a joke. You know, guys push themselves, but it's just different when you have the coaches out there. You're running through plays. You're hitting it hard, full speed. It's almost like a regular season practice just without, you know, pads. It's hard, and I'm sure some guys took a little bit more time off than they normally would have because they didn't have to. All right, I want to go on vacation. I got to be back on the 15th because we have OTAs. Wait, we don't have OTAs this year. I'm going to come back on the 20th. I want to go work out today. I'm going to put in two workouts today. Maybe I'll just do one today. I don't have a coach around to push me. You got some guys who may not want to push themselves as hard. And you have some guys who were injured in the offseason who may want to give themselves rest. They didn't have any training staff or what have you to be able to guide them and tell them what they needed to do to get right or get ready. So it's a combination of things.
And Luther, right now in Denver, we have this whole Tim Tebow, Kyle Orton situation going on. Kyle Orton is the number one guy. Tim Tebow is listed as the backup. Merrill Hodge, ESPN analyst, criticized Tebow, saying essentially this guy was a sixth or seventh round pick. We all know he went in the first round last year. I don't think Tim Tebow is a starting quarterback in this league. How do you feel about Tim Tebow?
What controversy? Why is there even talk about Tim Tebow as a starting quarterback in Denver? Have you watched him? First of all, why did Josh McDaniel trade back up into the first round, gave up anything to move back up to get a guy who nobody else really wanted at the top of the draft as a quarterback? Sorry, he's a great leader. He was a great leader in college. Great quarterback in college, perfect for that system that Urban Meyer ran at Utah and Florida. But this ain't college. You have to be able to consistently throw a 15-yard out from wide hash marks in the NFL. And if you can't make that happen, a guy like Darrell Revis or Nnamdi Asamoah or Asante Samuel will be dancing in your end zone once a week. You have to be able to make all those throws. You can't just go in the offseason and hand him the position when Kyle Orton was your guy and he's clearly the better quarterback. At this point, Tim Tebow's not even better than Brady Quinn, and that's not saying too much. So I don't even know what the controversy is. I'm so sick of hearing about Tim Tebow. I'm sick of hearing his mouth. Get on the field and prove it on the field. Let's not talk about how hard you'll work to get this done, this, that, and the other. Not hating on the guy. This is the NFL. This isn't college. It just won't fly in that league.
Well, what is his ceiling? I think to me he's nothing more than a backup / wildcat type of quarterback. What do you think his ceiling is?
I think his ceiling is as a tough, hard-nosed fullback. I don't think the guy's a quarterback.
I agree. I don't see it. And I thought it was just ludicrous that anybody could hand this guy the job. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. But he does sell jerseys.
He sells a hell of a lot of jerseys. He's a great product pusher. If he can get on the field, he'll make more money than Michael pushing products. You know? And there's only one Michael. I don't have to say his last name.
Honestly speaking, I would walk my daughter down the aisle to marry a guy like Tim Tebow, but I would not hand him the keys to my franchise. No, thank you.
I would pass on that. The keys to my franchise. I'm sorry, Tim. You're a great guy. You know, you're going to make somebody a hell of a son-in-law, but you're not going to make somebody a hell of a franchise quarterback. That's just my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
We got Rex Ryan now asking other teams to beat the Patriots. Two straight trips for the Jets to the AFC title game. Is the pressure now on Rex to get it done and get over the top?
I think Rex put the pressure on himself from day one, which is respectable. Rex jumped in with both feet. No pun intended. Rex jumped in with both feet from day one, and he was talking from day one about how he was going to have the Jets ready to play. The Jets were a championship team. I don't think there's any more pressure on Rex than there's been in the past 2 years, simply because that's Rex, and he's able to take the pressure off the team by putting it on himself. With that being said, I'm not really sure if they'll be able to get to another championship game. They put all their eggs in one basket at the beginning of free agency trying to sign Nnamdi when Nnamdi wanted to wear that different shade of green. They let Brad Smith go to Buffalo. That was a big loss, considering they're going to let their second starter, Braylon Edwards, sign with someone else and release Jericho Kotrick. You signed Plexico after 2 years out of football. And, you know, we all wish Plex the best, but I'm not really sure of the moves they made on the offensive side of the ball. They lost. They're not going to have Chris Jenkins, but they didn't have Chris too long last year. The defense is going to be solid with Rex coaching it, but that offense, it's a wait-and-see situation. We don't know how much Mark has improved in the offseason, Mark Sanchez, but you know, I have an obnoxious Jets fan of a friend, so I root against them whenever they play. I may root against them if they play an Al-Qaeda team. That's how bad he annoys us about his Jets. But, you know, they'll be fine. I don't know if they can beat the Patriots.
And I've said this all along about the Jets and Mark, mainly Mark Sanchez. I don't think he's a championship quarterback. Now, he could be this year, but the only problem is the defense may be down this year. So it's one of those things. I mean, two straight trips to the AFC title game, but that was on the strength of the defense and not the strength of him.
Well, you know about those title games being living in the Philly area. Two straight trips to the title game does you nothing. We went, as a Philadelphia team, went four times to the championship game, and it got us Donovan went five times. And we have zero rings, so that means nothing. They've got to get over the hump, and there are a lot of teams waiting for that opportunity to win a championship this year. They have a lot of good teams. We'll see what happens. I know the Jets think they're good enough to do it. We'll see.
And you talked about the Patriots. They bring in Ocho Cinco. They bring in Albert Haynesworth. We all know the Patriots' way. Will these two guys conform?
Chad will. One thing about Chad is he plays hard. He's always played hard. He's always practiced hard. He never stops talking, tweeting, Facebooking, which is fine. He's an ad magnet. He advertises himself perfect. Good for Chad. His personality fits that, and he's still a good ball player. Not great. He's still good. Albert, I don't know. He's missed some practices already because he's hurt. If he's healthy and motivated, he will be a monster lining up next to Vince Wilfork in that defense. It'll be frightening to see what will happen with those two guys if both are healthy and Albert's motivated. So I think the biggest acquisition for them, in terms of those two guys, is a healthy, motivated Haynesworth. So we'll see.
And Luther, I'm sorry. Luther, I want to read you a quote from Rex Grossman of the Washington Redskins. Rex said, "We don't need people saying we're the best right now, but when it's all said and done, I really feel like this team is going to win the East." Those are the words of Rex Grossman.
I'm going to tell you why Rex said that. The Madden demo came out last night on PlayStation, and Rex probably was playing the demo on Madden, and he got a little carried away. because he was playing a video game. And, you know, you can make yourself a little better on the video game. So Rex probably got a little carried away. So let's just give him that. You know, camp just started. He could have got hit. He could have a head injury, anything. I'm not really sure what Rex is talking about. He might be channeling a little bit of Rex Ryan, but they're going to be the doormats of the NFC East again. So sorry, Redskins fan, Deadskins fan. I'm sorry, Tracy Knapper.
And Luther, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play, sir?
Sure, I'm always ready.
Walmart or Target? What's better?
Walmart, because I happen to have a discount card from this person I know, and I get 10% off there.
Oh, wow. I need to go with you to Walmart. Better play, better restaurant, McDonald's or Burger King?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Probably McDonald's, because they have the little play thing that my daughter always wanted to go to. So it took a little bit more attention from it took a little added a little bit more fun to the trips to the fast food joint when I have Alexa with me. Plus, in the morning she wants to go there and eat pancakes, so I say McDonald's.
Better looking, Rosie O'Donnell or Monique?
Malik who?
Monique.
Oh, better looking Rosie O'Donnell or Monique? Monique, she's way prettier than Rosie O'Donnell. Rosie O'Donnell looks like a guy. That was an easy one right there.
I actually think Monique is actually okay,
yeah,
to be honest.
Monique is she's pretty. She's a little chunky, but whatever.
Well, nothing a little guy can't take care of.
Nothing a little guy can't. I can't talk. I'm not the slimmest guy in the world.
Either am I at this point. Last but not least, Luther, better NFL city, Carolina or Philadelphia?
That's not even a question. I'm sorry, Charlotte fans. I know I live here now. And, you guys are my second favorite team. But, good God, it's like night and day. You leave from Philadelphia, you're 9 games under 500. It's snowing. People can barely get to the stadium, but the stadium is packed. They're going to be there. They might not cheer you on. They will boo you right out of the stadium, but they're going to be there and rowdy. Carolina, team could be 12-4. There's a little bit of drizzle outside. People are going to stay home. You know what else they do at Bank of America Stadium? They clap.
What's that?
They clap. You clap at the frickin' opera. You don't clap at a football game. They clap. And also, they kick people out for using profanity. I've heard of people getting in trouble for being too rowdy at the game. Are you kidding me? This isn't even a question. Philadelphia fans are ridiculously crazy. That's
and
why
I
they have a holding
you.
Cell at the doggone stadium. But you got a lot of passionate.
Luther, what's going on with the blog? Are you still blogging? We got the blog still going?
Man, I've been lazy and busy, but I'm going to get my blog going. I spoke about to one of my friends about that. I'm going to start getting back on top of things with my blog. I'm very opinionated, so I got to get my opinions out there. You know the name of my blog. It's my opinion, and I don't care what you think. So, I got to get back on it. So thanks for asking me about that. I might as well go. I think I'm going to write this weekend about this whole Dream Team thing, how it's annoying me.
And I want to go back to that real quickly. You got the dream, the whole notion of the Dream Team. Who is the pressure on the most? Is it Michael Vick or is it Andy Reid? Who has the most pressure going into this 2011 season?
It's Andy, of course. Andy's the head coach. Andy's has a hand in who they sign. Andy made his offensive line coach the defensive coordinator, who I think Juan Castillo is going to do a great job. But when you make moves like that, the pressure is going to be on you as the head coach. He traded away the quarterback who was the future franchise quarterback, and I mean, we do have Michael Vick back there, but the pressure's on Andy. He's the head coach, and the pressure stands firmly on his shoulder, and his shoulders are wide enough to be able to handle the pressure. The Eagles going to be good enough to be able to take the pressure off of Andy. So I think the pressure's more on Andy, and he'll get it done.
And, Luther, where can we find you out on Twitter and Facebook?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook.com/Rashard84. That's RASHARD84. On Twitter, you can find me at Rashard84. My blog is LouKnowsItAll.blogspot.com. That's L-U, LouKnowsItAll.blogspot.com.
Make sure everybody hits those spots up. This is an opinionated guy. This is a funny guy. And Luther, as always, man, it's a pleasure having you, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck going forward. We'd love to have you back, sir.
It's my pleasure. It's always my pleasure to call here and argue some sports topic with you. So I disagree with you half the time. So not because I think you're wrong, because I like arguing with you over sports.
And that's a fun thing. I love to argue, too.
All right, let's get back at it. I'm going to be on Twitter arguing with you about something sooner or later.
We'll find something to argue about, Luther. Take care of yourself, sir.
I will, absolutely. It's my pleasure having me. Everybody need to start following my man now on Twitter. I'm going to tweet you up right now, Paul.
Make sure you follow that. Go for it, Gamp. Follow me, follow me, follow me.
All right, Mr. Gamp, be easy.
All right, take care, Luther.
All right, brother.
Luther Broughton, former Eagles and former Carolina Panthers tight end. And Lou knows it all. Lou knows it all. Lou's an interesting guy, a funny guy, and I definitely enjoy his insight. And that's one of the reasons I brought him on, because the man, he knows football, and I like his insight. And yeah, it's a funny guy as well. Make sure you check his stuff out. Go to his Twitter page and make sure you follow him there at Rashard84. I mean, he's a funny, funny guy. Follow that man. Follow that man. Follow my man, Lou. And I want to go. We talked about it, but I want to talk about it some more. Rex Grossman saying that the Washington Redskins, when it's all said and done, will be the winner of the NFC East. Now, I'll give everybody a few seconds to laugh and chuckle, whatever you like to do. I'll give you a few seconds to do that. I guess you got it all out of your system. And that's it. This is I don't know what Rex is drinking. I don't know what he's smoking. Whatever he's drinking or smoking, I would like a little piece of that, because whatever it does, it makes you very delusional, I guess. Whatever it does something for you, and it does something good for you. But Rex Grossman, I mean, I can't believe he said it. I cannot believe he said it. Let me read his quote one more time. We don't need people saying we're the best right now. But when it's all said and done, I really feel like this team is going to win the East. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The Washington Redskins? First off, Rex Grossman may not even be starting. He may not even be the starting quarterback in Washington. It's looking like at this point, John Beck will be the starter. So that's first off. So Rex Grossman, and he probably will play some football this year. He probably will play some football this year. And, you know, I guess Rex is excited about the addition of Dante Stallworth, the addition of Jabari Gaffney, the re-signing of Santana Moss, the acquiring of Tim Hightower, the acquiring of Barry Colfield, ex-Giants defensive tackle, nose tackle, and also the acquiring of Stephen Bowen. And in the secondary, they acquired O.J. Atagwa and Josh Wilson at the cornerback position. I guess that is enough to excite people. Well, it's enough to excite Rex. I mean, like Luther said, I mean, maybe he got the Rex, and maybe he's trying to be like Rex Ryan. I mean, come on, Rex Grossman. Are you kidding me? I mean, first of all, the best quarterback on your roster is no longer on your roster, and that's Donovan McNabb, who was on your roster in 2010. He is the best quarterback. He's better than you, and he's better than John Beck. That team around him just was not that great. And I'm not going to defend Donovan all like that, because Donovan was not all that great either. So let's be clear about that one. Let's be clear about that one. Let's be clear about that one. But, you know, you got a lot of talking going on right now. And this is the time where guys are going to talk, and they're giving us all something to talk about, which is always a great and beautiful and lovely thing, because let's give us all something to talk about. We all love to talk about some things. But you look at it, you look at the whole situation, and you're saying, I don't know where this is coming from. I mean, I don't know how these guys feel that the Redskins are going to be even in the talk in terms of winning the division, not with the Giants there and not with the Dallas Cowboys in that division. If you look at the Giants, I mean, last year when I looked at the Giants, that was a team, obviously the best team that did not make the playoffs were the New York Giants last year. They were the best team not in the playoffs. The best team not in the playoffs were the New York Giants. They were the best team. They were the best team not to make the playoffs last year. And so, and I think, you know, you look at the Giants, they're a team that still has a lot of talent on that roster, and they're a team that's going to be there. The Dallas Cowboys, I don't think we can discount them as well, especially with Tony Romo back in the mix. We can't discount them. We can't discount that at all. At all. So they're going to be back in the mix. So I think in looking at this whole situation with this NFC East and everything, obviously you have to say the Eagles are the favorite. Like Luther said, they seem to fill all the positions that they needed. They needed help in the defensive tackle position, filled. They needed another defensive end, filled. Jason Babin, Colin Jenkins at the defensive tackle position. They needed another corner, filled twice. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Nnamdi. They needed, another running back, filled, Ronnie Brown. So all these spots, all these things that they needed, filled. They needed a backup quarterback, filled, Vince Young. So they're filling all these spots. They also signed today Steve Smith, former New York Giant. Smith is coming off microfracture surgery. So we'll see what he can contribute. But there are some concerns in Philly. I mean, the linebacking position may give people some concerns. You know, they lost Stuart Bradley in that there, and that may give you some concerns. Some, but I don't think much. And I heard somebody talk about this, and this was interesting. Name the top five linebackers in the NFC. I've heard someone say that, and when I heard them say that, I thought about it, and I was saying, he might be onto something. He may be onto something. You figure Urlacher. You figure Patrick Willis. I mean, you know, you start to struggle a little bit from there. You start to struggle a little bit in terms of linebackers. And I'm thinking, yeah, he might be onto something there. They may be onto something with that. But, I mean, you know, right now it looks like Casey Matthews will be in the middle. And, you know, they're young in the linebacker position, and we'll see how much talent is there. And they struggled in terms of linebackers last year. But the defense as a whole struggled in Philadelphia. I mean, the defense as a whole struggled. But I think they've done enough to plug in those holes. I think they have plugged in these holes. And I think this will be enough to get the Eagles where they want to be, and that's very far in the playoffs, and that's possibly in the Super Bowl. And Luther said the pressure's on Andy Reid. I think the pressure more so is on Michael Vick. I mean, Michael Vick came off that great season last year with Philadelphia, came out of nowhere, literally came out of nowhere and played the greatest ball of his career, came out of nowhere. But when I look at the Eagles, I mean, I think the pressure is on Michael Vick, and I think the pressure is, can Michael Vick duplicate what he did last season? And first off, can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? And that's important. Can the man stay healthy? That's very important. He has had a hard time staying healthy. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? And that's going to be big there. That's a big question when you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and Michael Vick. Can he stay healthy? And I think Michael Vick, again, I think he is the guy, in my opinion, that he's the guy that has the most pressure on him. He has the most pressure on him. Can he duplicate what he did in 2010? Can he do that in 2011? Can he do that? And you also have to look at the offensive line position right now. I mean, hopefully Jamal Jackson can come back and stay healthy. He's had a hard time doing that last couple of years. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And hopefully that right side of the line with Danny Watkins, the draft pick, the new guard that they brought in, also Winston Justice, who, you know, I have some concerns about, but they brought in also Ryan Harris, and he seems to be getting, well, at this point, Winston Justice is not healthy, but at this point, Ryan Harris is the guy that's getting some reps at that position. So it looks like he may be the guy, number one guy going into the season. And then you have the situation with Jeremy Maclin with a mysterious illness that no one really knows about at this point. So how healthy will he be? And does the signing of Steve Smith signal that this illness could be a lot more serious than we may think? Could the signing of Steve Smith be the reason? Could that be a telltale sign about what's going on with Jeremy Maclin? I don't know, but it's definitely something to think about, something if you're an Eagles fan that you need to concern yourself with. I mean, you got DeSean Jackson back in camp, and the guy needs to get paid. And I hope that the Philadelphia Eagles pay this man. He needs to get paid. Pay the man. Pay the man. Pay the man. He needs to get paid. He deserves to get paid. He's outplayed his contract. He has outplayed his rookie contract. No doubt about it, point blank, period. He has outplayed that rookie contract. Outplayed it. No doubt about it. There's no arguments there from anybody. So hopefully they'll take care of this guy, and hopefully he'll get back on, be well paid, and do what he has done. If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, do what he has done these past 3 years as a pro. And speaking of pro, Terrell Pryor, he actually postponed his pro day, his pro workout, which was scheduled for Friday, and that's mainly because at this point, the NFL still has to decide on his status for the upcoming supplemental draft. And that supplemental draft is scheduled for August 17 at this point. And so you look at it right now, there's still some contention of whether or not Terrell is eligible for this particular draft. And we'll see where he goes, and hopefully he does get an opportunity to get drafted in the supplemental draft and get an opportunity to play in this league. Whether he's an NFL quarterback, that's up for discussion. Some say he might be better suited at a wideout position on the pro level. I mean, but, you know, I don't know in terms of Terrell Pryor what he is in terms of an NFL quarterback. It's some questions, obviously. He has some athleticism. He has some arm strength. But is he an NFL quarterback? Is he an NFL quarterback? And that's the question you have to answer, that has to be answered when it comes to Terrell Pryor. And maybe, you know, maybe when it comes to Terrell Pryor, maybe the guy just becomes, he just becomes a wide receiver or a running back or some other position. Maybe he doesn't play the NFL. Maybe he doesn't play quarterback on the NFL level. But we'll see how what teams do in this situation, whether or not they give this guy a shot and whether or not it will be at quarterback, but I hope that he does get another opportunity to prove himself in the NFL. Well, not another opportunity, a opportunity to prove himself in the National Football League. And I want to go to another holdout, and that is Chris Johnson. I mean, Chris Johnson, 13th day of skipping training camp and a 13-day holdout at this point. At this point, because of yesterday, missing yesterday, he has given up a year in terms of free agency, so he's lost a year in terms of counting toward free agency, which is big. But you look at it, and I look at this situation with Chris Johnson, another guy who has outplayed his contract. He has 2 years left on his deal, but he has outplayed his contract. There's no doubt about it. He has played his contract, outplayed his contract. I mean, he over the past three seasons, 4,598 yards. And that's more than anybody else over those past 3 years. So the guy, and he's the best player on that team. So you got the best player on the team who has rushed for close to 4,600 yards over the past 3 years. And you're not going to pay the man. And granted, Tennessee did something for the guy last year, gave him some extra money last year. But you look at it, I think the guy definitely deserves another contract. And I will say this in terms of the Titans, they have proven that they're willing to work with the guy by what they did last year. But will they continue to work with this guy? Will they ultimately give the guy what he deserves? And Eddie George actually came out about the situation, and he was quoted as saying he definitely behooves everybody to make him happy. It definitely, behooves everybody to make him happy so everybody can win. Does he deserve a new contract? Absolutely he does. He has outperformed his other one. It's now time to stop messing around and get the deal done. Those are the words of Eddie George, great Titans running back, who was a great running back over his time in the league. And I this has got to be a tough situation for new head coach Mike Munchak, because Chris Johnson is your best player. There's no getting around that. Chris Johnson is your best player. He is the best player on that roster. No doubt about it. Chris Johnson is the best player. Best player on the roster. Hands down, the best player on the roster. He needs to get paid. Pay the man. 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 Let's take a commercial break. We'll be back. And at the 10 o'clock hour, we will be joined by Kiko Ellsworth, actor. And also, we will be joined by Michael Robinson of the Seattle Seahawks. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com.
Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pictureka on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Corey Live, we get it all the time, baby. We get it all the time here on Go For It. And we're back better than ever. Better than ever. And, we talking about some of these things that's going on in the NFL right now, and a lot of great things, a lot of big things going on in the NFL. And I want to switch gears now to Tiger Woods and his whole situation. You have the situation with him and his ex-caddy, Stevie Williams. And Stevie Williams, who was very excited, actually, after Adam Scott won the golf tournament this past weekend. Very excited, and the Firestone Classic, and you look at it, and you look at the whole situation with Stevie Williams. I mean, the guy, in my opinion, and I'm hearing a lot of people saying it, but it's so true. The guy, at the end of the day, is a caddy, and it's nothing more than that. And he's getting a lot of publicity, a lot of pub, because of his situation with Tiger Woods and that whole situation, that whole nonsense. And, Tiger decided that it was time to part ways with Stevie Williams, whether you agree with how he did it or whether you don't agree with it. I mean, the man has a right to change caddies if he wants to change caddies, and that's what he decided to do. But you look at Stevie Williams, I mean, the guy was elated. He talked about how great of a victory this was for him, and you know, and how great it felt for Adam Scott, who now who Stevie Williams is the caddy for now. I mean, how exciting it was for him, and you know, in a lot of ways, he did apologize for how what he did and what he was saying. But I mean, you know, obviously, I think it kind of what he was doing kind of, in a lot of ways, was it kind of outshined the victory that Adam Scott had, and what, you know, Adam Scott's moment in a lot of ways was taken away by Stevie Williams and his own little situation with Tiger Woods, and he did apologize, and I'll read his quotes. "My emotion following Adam's victory were running very high at the time, and I felt like my emotions poured out and got the better of me. I apologize to my fellow caddies and professionals for failing to mention Adam's outstanding performance. I would like to thank all those fans at Firestone who made this victory the most special of my career." And, well, you know, special moment, you know, great, you know, you won. Your man won, I should say, but acted like you won. I would have thought you won, but your man Adam Scott won. You know, I guess it was a great victory for you, and I guess if I was in that position and if I was unhappy, by the way, my boss fired me, maybe I would be happy as well. But I don't think you don't try to overshadow what your guy did, and I think that's the way he acted. He tried, by him coming out and talking the way he was talking, in a lot of ways, you did overshadow Adam Scott. You did overshadow Adam Scott by the way you conducted yourself. You overshadowed the man by the way you conducted yourself and the way you acted after that victory. I mean, come on. You're only a caddy, young man. You are only a caddy. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. And I said the Firestone tournament is actually the Bridgestone Invitational. Was the tournament that Adam Scott won last week. And, again, you are only a caddy, Stevie, only a caddy. And, you know, I think you need to understand that, embrace that, recognize that, and just live that, because that's who you are. And that's okay, because you get 10% of guys' earnings. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money, man, and, you know, $1 million purse, which Adam Scott got over $1 million. I mean, that's $100,000. A lot of money, young man. A lot of money. Well, you're not a young man, but it's a lot of money, sir. A whole heck of a lot of money. A whole heck of a lot of money. And actually, Tiger Woods talked about, he actually sent him a text message after the victory and congratulating him, which was a nice gesture by Tiger Woods, a very nice gesture. But the question becomes, Tiger Woods at this point, will this guy ever win a major? Will he ever win a major as he prepares for the PGA Championships, which began on Thursday? Will he ever win a major again? Have we seen the best and the last of Tiger Woods on top of golf? I think we might have. I think we might have. I mean, from injuries to some of his personal problems, you know, the situation with his wife and everything like of that nature, it may just have gotten the best of him. And at this point, we may have seen the best of Tiger Woods. We may have seen the best of this guy. We may have seen the best of this guy. But, you know, like I said, I think I said this before last week, it's hard to doubt greatness. It's hard to doubt greatness, and Tiger Woods has proven that he is great. He has proven to this point in his life that he is a great golfer. He's proven that. He definitely has proven that to this point. The question becomes, does Tiger now take it to that next level? Does Tiger now get back there, get back on top of golf, get back and start winning some majors? Does he do it? Does he do it? Or is it over for Tiger Woods? We shall see. Before, you know, you look at every tournament, it was Tiger and everybody else. Everybody says, who's going to win? You know, I mean, everybody would say Tiger. Everybody says Tiger. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. Who's going to win The U.S. Open. Tiger. Who's going to win the British Open? Tiger. PGA Championships. Tiger. I mean, everybody, that was the go-to word. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. When it came to majors, any golf tournament he was in, it was Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. Who's going to win? Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. I mean, and that's the way it was with Tiger Woods there. That was the way it was with him, and, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. But this Tiger Woods, get back on top. I don't doubt greatness, but I don't know. It's not looking good at this point of his career. The last half hour, go for it, starts now. We're going to be joined by actor Kiko Ellsworth and also Seattle Seahawks fullback Michael Robinson in this final half hour. Let's actually bring in Kiko Ellsworth now. Kiko, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing? I'm about to have a baby on this side of town.
Oh, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. It's any day now. It's my first kid, and me and my wife are very excited about it. It's been a long time in the making, probably about 9 years.
And that's a beautiful thing. And, again, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with that, man, and hopefully everything goes well.
Thank you very much. Hey, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very well, sir. And I look at you, Kiko, right now, and, you know, things are going well for you. You played a rogue on ABC's Family, Nine Lives of Chloe King. First of all, tell us about that show.
Well, that show, think of it along the lines of a Buffy, the vampire slayer, and except the lead character, she's a part of this my species, and she has these, you know, nine lives. She has these cat powers. And basically, it's a battle between the Maya species and humans. Humans, a big miscommunication. So the humans are threatened by the Maya. So they hire, one of their main guys that's dedicated to the extinction of the Maya species, which is my character, the Rogue, and he's dedicated his life to the extermination of this main character that's supposed to save the Maya species, which is the lead character, Chloe King. So, I throw out of her building and I kill her like once or twice, and she comes back and it's some pretty intense stuff and fight scenes as well too. So my martial arts definitely came into play when I was shooting those shows.
And you talked about your martial arts. You have an extensive background in martial arts. I mean, did this role appeal to you because of your martial arts background?
Well, you know, it definitely turned me on, because any chance I get to do that on film, I mean, that's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's like being a little boy again. You know, when you get to fight and play guns and do those sorts of things, it just releases some sort of, I don't know, maybe testosterone thing, to where it's just so much fun. So yeah, you know, when I come across roles like that, and but especially it's in lieu of this little girl coming into her womanhood and being empowered. Even though I'm playing the bad guy, it still serves. I play the correct role to empower her in the light of the whole entire, you know, perspective of the show. And she's coming into her own and as a young woman and as someone who can defend herself. And that's what I actually do in my real life is I actually work with Safe Passage, and they're an organization that gives extreme life makeovers to women and children who've been affected by domestic violence. So on the TV, wow, I'm like whipping this little girl's butt, but like, you know, here in my real life, you know, I teach them inspirational self-defense and make sure that, you know, they have the tools that they have so they don't have to put themselves in those types of situations and they can be empowered in their everyday lives and have some sort of peace of mind.
And where did this love for martial arts come from?
You know, growing up, I never got to do it, and then when I was off of, I was on a show, I was on Port Charles General Hospital back in the early 2000s. We always used to, our cast, we were like a big dorm room. We used to play fight, and I had a couple of girls that were like my sisters, and they used to play fight with me, and then we just kept talking about it, and it really stemmed from that. We ended up having a mutual friend who actually taught a self-defense-based martial arts along the lines of Krav Maga. And so we ended up studying with this guy together for the next few years. We both became, you know, instructors in that particular martial art. And everything pretty much spawned from there. But I've always loved Bruce Lee films. I've always loved that sort of thing. But just growing up, I never got a chance. My parents didn't put me in that sort of thing.
Right. We're talking to Tico Ellsworth, one of the stars of Nine Lives of Chloe King, which airs on ABC Family each and every Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. And you talked about the soap operas Port Charles and General Hospital, which you did for many years. Do you miss the soaps?
You know, there is a certain sort of camaraderie that I do miss about the soaps. You know, like I said, it's kind of like a college dorm. You know, you're up there and you have your brothers and sisters that you spend all this time with, and you get to go and have fun in front of the camera with them. So that aspect I do miss, but I'm very glad that I'm at the stage that I'm at now, where I'm creating my own project and expanded into, you know, film and music and doing letting my voice expand into those new areas of my life and making a difference just across the board. So, you know, I get to just spread my wings out a little bit more, you know, being, you know, a free bird in this entertainment industry and doing kind of hitting all areas.
And talk about your music.
You know, we classify it as dope spiritual soul.
Okay.
That's the best way we can, because we hit a little bit of everything. You know, I do yoga every single day, so that's been a definite balancing and core balancing factor in my life. And but I love. You know, we have to be relative to the times. You know, so I find like a lot of things, like when they have music that means something or music that's inspirational or spiritual or whatever, it sacrifices basically its dopeness. So I didn't want to sacrifice the dopeness of whether I'm doing a rap song or something along those lines, or, you know, in place of it being, you know, inspirational. So I wanted to combine the soulfulness of, you know, of who I am as a person, you know, my spiritual beliefs, as far as, you know, just basically being a balanced individual in spirit and what that is and what that means, the importance of that, and making that in accordance with the dopeness of music and making sure that it's still relative. So when people hear our music, they can hear it at a club, they can dance to it, and they're like, wow, this has a real positive message, but it's dope to listen to. Let me listen to it again. You know what I'm saying? So that's
right.
Every song that we do has that definite impact and seal upon it.
And in terms of movies, what kind of projects do you have going on with that?
Yeah, we actually are about to have one of my very, very good friends, who his film actually is being released with Robert Duvall September 2nd, and it's called The 7 Days in Utopia. And he and I just did a film a few years ago, and we're actually, after this one releases, we're actually going to go pretty much into pre-production on the next film, which is a huge action film where my character is doing more action. He's doing, you know, martial arts, and he's gunslinging. It's kind of like a Matrix / Memento type film, and it's going to send viewers just for a real fun ride, man. This guy is, I can't say too much about it because, you know, we want to keep it under wraps until we pretty much get it wrapped up and shot in a can.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be a real fun ride. You know, I'm going to definitely get to use a lot of my martial arts skills. I'm definitely planning on actually learning a lot of gun training, gun techniques. So by the time, you know, filming comes around, the guns and all the guns that I'll be using will be pretty much natural and second nature for me.
And Kiko, you love sports. You're a sports guy. You did some voiceovers for promos for the 2011 NBA playoffs for ESPN. How exciting was that for you?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, man. You know, I mean, I grew up watching, you know, the NBA, like James Worthy, Byron Scott, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, the rivals, the Celtics. Those are my favorite times growing up. So to be able to do some voiceovers for them and commercials was definitely a dream come true that I didn't know that I would be that fulfilled doing it. Because I'm going to do the voice of NBA promos growing up, you know, but it kind of blindsided me. So when that came through, I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. Of course, you know, they offered me to do that. Of course, I'd love to do that. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. So, you know, I can't wait to do it again next year if the opportunity arises again.
And Kiko, you talked about some of the things you do in the community. Talk about some of the other things you do in the community. You do a lot of great things. Talk about it.
Well, mainly I would definitely work with the Safe Passage organization as well. And we're actually working on creating our own charity that actually gives back to the community through entertainment, you know, and basically finding ways so the acting art that I come with the music can funnel back into the community, because there's a lot of things that we want to do as far as work with children, because I used to teach as well, too. You know, I taught special ed and things along those lines. So, you know, working with like Safe Passage and also some of those children gave me the opportunity to really see what I wanted to do with my own charity. So we're in development of that sort of thing, so of our own charity. So next year when that comes around, when my baby is finally here and, you know, these movies and things we finish up this year, that's what we have in alignment for next year is having actually our own charity that we can get back to the community and really empower, you know, specific areas of the community, whether it be, inner city youths that don't get out much or, you know, they don't even get to see the ocean, you know. So I have definitely a fond love for kids and also teaching kids as well, too, given I really respect kids. You know, I don't think that we give them enough credit, you know, especially I think the younger, the better, because they just come from heaven. They just came from that beautiful place. And I really think that they're here to teach us. You know, it's just our job really more so to protect them while they actually get their bearings here and on earth. You know what I mean? But I think they're just bright spirits, man, and you know, I just think it's our duty to protect them so they can lead us, you know, because I think they have a great vision. These kids coming into this planet these days, they're just. I saw this one kid, man. This is just one of them. But this is one little black kid. He must have been 9 or 10 years old, and he was on stage talking to must have been about 10,000-15,000 people, and he was doing an inspirational speaking speech. And this kid was amazing. He was like, I believe in me. Do you believe in me? And this kid was, I mean, he was amazing, you know. And I'm like, where did these kids get this pure light power from, you know. So, you know, that's I have a definite fond for children that I'm going to, you know, link up with and empower them in a powerful way next year. And especially through our music and through our, we have some animations that we're in development with, too, as far as being able to empower them and support them through animations as well. So, and my wife she just actually wrote her second children's book that actually we're coming out with a line of children's books that actually empower the children with core issues that, you know, basically every kid grows up with, you know, whether it be one thing from following their dreams or from them being different and unique. Because when I was young, I got made fun of because of my ears. You know, they used to point out, they used to call me Yoda and all these things, you know, kind of like the Will Smith thing. They used to make fun of my ears and everything as well, you know. So having a line of children's books that actually addresses, like each book will address, like it would have helped me, you know, if you're different. There's things that are about you that are unique and different. Kids might not understand that, but we have a whole book series that addresses these different issues for kids as well, too, that can actually flip the script on them being made fun of, for example, and flipping it and leaving them in an empowered way so they can reread these books and condition their mind in a positive way so when they grow up, they don't have these hang-ups.
Definitely. And real quickly now, Kiko, where can we go to find information about some of your newer projects?
You know, I'm on Facebook, Kiko Ellsworth, K-I-K-O Ellsworth, two L's, and You can follow me on Twitter, same thing, Kiko Ellsworth as well, too. And, you know, I actually keep those two areas updated as far as my new projects that are coming out and my opinions on certain things. Sometimes I go to, you know, events, and so I say, well, this event was great. You know, maybe it was like what last thing I went to was this Shen Yun Chinese Performance Festival, which was pretty amazing. These, you know, those Chinese performers are, those Chinese, they do these beautiful synchronistic dances and martial arts things, and
right.
You know, martial art is beautiful. So things like that, and I'll update on certain things in my life. And when the baby drops, I'm going to see if the wife is going to let me, you know, announce it. She might want to be more private with it, so I got to, you know, got to respect the wife with that. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Kiko, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Make sure you check Kiko Ellsworth out, Nine Lives of Chloe King, ABC Family, each and every Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. Kiko, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with the show.
Thank you.
And more so, we wish you nothing but the best of luck with the upcoming baby. Good luck, man.
Baby.
It was a pleasure talking
Thank
to
you.
You
too as well.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. You too. Bye-bye.
Kiko Ellsworth, actor, Nine Lives, Chloe King. Let's bring in now fullback of the Seattle Seahawks, Mr. Michael Robinson. Michael, how are you, sir?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Just in San Diego. About to go to meetings, ready to get this NFL season going, man.
And you're definitely ready for the season. Michael, in the offseason, man, you got bigger. Up 17 pounds from 223 last year. How will that help you in this 2011 season?
Well, you know, I played quarterback in college, you know, played running back, played tailback when I first got into the National Football League. So being moved to fullback, you know, you got to take on some bigger guys. You got to block a little bit more. And I thought adding the weight would just help me out, giving me a little bit more stamina, a little bit more power when I'm opening holes for Marshawn Lynch.
And that's definitely going to be what you're going to be doing a lot this season. And right now, Michael, you have the situation, man. You got a lot of injuries in training camp throughout the league. Seeing these injuries, does that scare you a little bit?
No, man. You know, I think it should have been expected. You know, we didn't have a normal off season. A lot of guys were training by themselves for the first time ever. And it's tough if you don't know what you're doing, especially for a lot of young guys. But I think the league kind of expected this. And there's a lot of free agents out there, you know, and I wish guys well. But I don't think it'll take away from the quality of the football.
And how did you kind of stay focused and how did you keep yourself in football shape?
Well, you know, I work out in a facility called Fisher Sports with a guy by the name of Brett Fisher in Phoenix, Arizona. He trains a lot of guys by the name of Donovan McNabb, you know, Darrell Reeves, Vincent Jackson, a lot of guys. And he does a great job getting us ready. You know, he had us in cleats pretty early, getting our feet used to being in cleats. You know, I brought my helmet and my shoulder pads home so I can be able to train and feel the weight of the pads. So, you know, I'm going into year six. I've been playing all my life, so I kind of knew kind of what I needed to do. And I think,
right.
You know, at this level, guys just have to treat their bodies like, you know, it's a business. You got to understand your body, and you got to understand what the things you need to do to get yourself ready.
We're talking to fullback Michael Robinson for the Seattle Seahawks as he gets prepared for his big game tomorrow against the San Diego Chargers. Michael, I mean, again, it's been a long time since you played in the game, man. Are you chomping at the bit?
Yeah, man, I'm ready to go down there. And I play special teams, too, so I'm ready to go down there and kick off and set the tone for the season. I think that's important. And I think everybody, fans included, everybody just wants to get back to seeing football again, playing football, you know, being out there, smelling the grass, hearing the crowd. You know, I think in America we need that.
Right. And you talked about you guys, you getting ready for the game tomorrow. You guys – brought in a couple new pieces, Tavares Jackson, Sidney Rice. How excited are you to have these guys in the fold?
Oh, very excited, man. And Robert Gallery, you didn't mention him, man, but he's a great asset to us up front in the offensive line, veteran. Even though, you know, I went to Penn State, he went to Iowa, so I got a little problem with him in that aspect. But in all honesty, I mean, great asset to the team. Sidney's a big play receiver. You can't cover him one-on-one. And Tavares, you know, when he's given his chance, he's proven that he can win in this league. He can be a great starter in this league. So I'm excited to see him play. I'm excited to see him go out there, command the huddle, and lead us to some victories.
And last year you guys had some victories. You ended the season. You won the division, but you were 7-9. Many question whether you guys belonged in the playoffs. What do you guys need to do in 2011 to stay on top of the NFC West and kind of take that next step?
Well, you know, Pete always preaches to us not just about winning NFC West, owning NFC West, and we got to continue that mindset. You know, it's the difference between just going out and trying to win and going out knowing you're going to win, and it's a mindset. We definitely have the talent. We have all the tools put in place. The unfortunate thing is we didn't have the reps of the offseason that we normally would have. But they're doing a great job getting us these reps during training camp. We're having long practices. We're working hard. We have a great fan base, and I think all we got to do is just go out there and continue to play our brand of football. We play very enthusiastic. We run the football, and in this league, especially late in the season, you got to be able to run the football if you want to win games.
Is it different without the two-a-days?
It's a little different, but at the same time, with two-a-days, you had two shorter practices. Now you just have
right.
one long practice, you know, and it's kind of like, oh man, you know, but you know, I think it's gonna save a lot of guys' careers. I think it's gonna keep guys ready to go, and I'm excited about the new rule change.
And Mike, you talked about it at Penn State. You were a quarterback when you got into the NFL. You became a running back. Do you miss that quarterback position from time to time?
Yeah, man, you know what? I miss having the command of the offense, the leadership, the natural leadership. But at the same time, I'm happy where I am. And my goal was not to be an NFL quarterback. My goal was to play in the National Football League.
Right.
And, you know, God has blessed me and put me right where I need to be. And I trust that I'm right where I need to be.
And, Michael, Oprah retired. But you stepped in and did some big things with the Real Robinson Report. You had such guests as Donovan McNabb, Amari Stoudemire, to name a few. How did this all come about?
Well, it started, you know, my rookie year. You know, it was the rookie report when I was with the 49ers. And
okay.
I did it for a few years. And when I came to Seattle, I didn't carry it with me. And during this lockout, I had a lot of free time. And I said, you know, why not cover the lockout and make it the Real Robinson Report? And guys feel comfortable talking to me, man. You know, I'm not trying to get a story. I just want to talk to them, you know, what they're doing
right.
in the community, you know, what they're doing with the youth, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes mainstream media doesn't portray athletes in a great light, you know. And at the Real Robinson Report, we want to give athletes that stage that they can come on and talk about real issues and things that they go through in the life of, in the lives of athletes in a positive light. So that's where the Real Robinson Report came from. You can go to www.realrobreport.com, RealRobReport.com, and check it out, man. It's pretty cool.
And what was your favorite interview to date?
To date, probably my favorite interview was McNabb, man. He's a good friend of mine, and the guy is hilarious. So that was definitely one of my favorite interviews, man. But look, I got meetings. I got to get ready to go. I'm sorry,
right.
man.
No problem. Just real quickly, your foundation, where can we go to see your foundation?
MichaelRobinson26.com. You can check out my foundation for excellence, man. We're doing big things in the community, and we're creating an environment where these kids can go on to higher education.
Michael, good luck to you in this season, man. Good luck in that meeting tonight, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck, man. Have a healthy and safe and a successful season. Good luck to you, man. Let's
Thanks.
Do it again.
Thank you.
Michael Robinson. No problem. Michael Robinson, fullback for the Seattle Seahawks, and Michael was kind enough to get us in. He had meetings tonight, and as they prepare for their game tomorrow night against the San Diego Chargers, we appreciate Mike sneaking us in. We definitely appreciate that. You know, and again, he's got a big meeting tonight as he's preparing for his big game tomorrow. he's preparing for the big game tomorrow. And so make sure you go to his website and support him there. Support that website. Please do. The guy is doing some great things in the community and doing some great things with his foundation. And, you know, we always talk about the negatives, but, you know, let's talk about the positives and that's going on. And make sure you donate to Excel to Excellence. And he said Michael Robinson 26. The website is actually www.michaelrobinson24.com. That's www.michaelrobinson24.com. There you can read about his foundation, see what, some of the great things that he is doing in the community, man. And, you know, Kiko Ellsworth talked about some of the great things he's doing. Michael Robinson is also doing a lot of great things in the community. Wish him nothing but the best of luck, and make sure you support this man and what he is doing. Again, MichaelRobinson24.com. Support his charity, support what he's doing, and make sure you check out the Real Robinson Report. I know he had a nice little interview with Donovan McNabb, got a lot of publicity, that interview with Donovan. So the guy is preparing himself for life after football, and is reading about this Excel to Excellence Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization established to develop underprivileged youth with teamwork, leadership, and life skills. And this is through broad-based educational, social, and athletic programs. And their mission is to empower youths with necessary resources to excel towards their higher education endeavors. So, I mean, that's a great thing. That's a beautiful thing. And again, we need mentors out there in the community doing great things in the community, helping people and helping kids do the right things and be the right thing. Because unfortunately, in our society, we have a lot of people not doing the right things. We have a lot of people doing the wrong things. And that's not a good thing. So make sure you support Michael Robinson and his foundation, Excel to Excellence. Great foundation. And Michael, again, is doing some great things in the community. Support what he is doing. Support what he is doing. And, you know, so we can make a change in the lives of people and everybody else. And that's a good thing, and that's a beautiful thing. And so we'll see going forward with this NFL season. A lot of preseason action getting started tomorrow. Will guys stay injury-free? Will guys stay injury-free? Will guys stay injury-free? Will they stay injury-free? And that's going to be the big thing. Can guys stay injury-free? And can guys get enough reps and enough work as they start the season? Can it happen? Can guys get enough work and enough reps as they start the season? It should be very interesting, and we'll see what happens going forward. It's about that time, everybody. It's about that time. It's about that time. It's about that time. We have Stevie Williams, the guy, Tiger Woods' ex-caddy. He was with Adam Scott last weekend at the golf tournament, the Bridgestone Invitational. He was there. And he was a little extra excited after winning, after his guy, Adam Scott, beat Tiger Woods. He was a little extra excited, a little too excited in my mind. It's just a little too excited. I mean, him talking to the media and the media giving this guy a mic is almost like talking to a ball boy in some respect. I mean, this guy, he's only, as Stephen A. Smith, a caddy. Stephen A. Smith said, he's only a caddy. And he wrote on his Twitter page, that's the best win I ever had. Well, you're only a caddy, young man. Stevie Williams, you're only a caddy. And the way you acted that day and the way you've been acting recently over this whole Tiger Woods situation, Tiger Woods has been diplomatic. He's been a total gentleman about this whole situation. You have not been. You have not been. And I'm tired of seeing you. I'm tired of hearing you. And for your actions, I'm going to call you dumb, asinine, ridiculous. And most importantly, I'm going to call you stupid. Stevie Williams, you're stupid. We want to thank actor Kiko Ellsworth for stopping by. Make sure you support some of the things he's doing, make sure you go to KikoEllsworth.com. Make sure you support him on Twitter, at Kiko Ellsworth, and also on Facebook, at Kiko Ellsworth. We also want to thank Michael Robinson. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Real Mike Rob. That's at Real Mike Rob on Twitter. Make sure you support his website, www.michaelrobinson24.com. Donate to his foundation. Also, we want to thank Luther Broughton for stopping by. Make sure you support him on Twitter at Richard84. And also make sure you check him out on Facebook at Luther Broughton. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter and make sure you continue to follow me on Twitter and follow the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. For everybody here at GoFord, we wish you a nice night. We see you later. See you Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Peace. Bye-bye.